Each year there are different words and phrases from these readings assigned to Ash Wednesday that stand out for me. The content is the same every year. It's always the same passages that we've heard this evening. But the context of my life and of the world around me keeps changing. So that always influences how I hear the living Word of God. So what is it this year that stands out for me? What says to me, pay attention as I read through these? This year for me, it's one little word actually that keeps being repeated over and over again in St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, which is the word we. It seems to come up in almost every sentence when he says, for example, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God, and we work together with him as we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For me, that we feels very connected also to our theme that we have chosen for this year in our congregation, which is the proclamation that we together are gathered and nourished and sent. And even to speak about being gathered is to speak about we. It means that God is creating community and that our lives are not just about me, but about we, about us. It's about who we are together as the people of God and as the body of Christ. And one of those first ways in which we acknowledge the we on this Ash Wednesday is the fact that we are all mortal. We stand together in that, every single one of us gathered here this evening. And it's part of what this day calls us to remember, that none of us escape that fact. And as we come tonight and receive ashes on our forehead, we remember that. And as we hear these words spoken to us, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. We remember that there are no exceptions, that we are all mortal creatures. We know that, of course, all of us. We don't need to come here to be reminded of that, perhaps. But maybe we do, because there is so much in the culture around us that has trouble ever talking about mortality and about death. We live in a culture that really seeks in so many ways to even deny it or to put off any kind of real dealing with it, because we're always thinking maybe there's something that will come along, some new technology, some new drug, some new cure that will help us cheat death for a little bit longer. But it's part of who we are as people created by God and part of who we remember who we are tonight. The same scripture that we hear along with the ashes that we bear on our mortal bodies and the prayers and the readings and the songs of this night help, I think, break that kind of fear and that kind of denial of our mortality so that we can just get on with life, so that we can not put it aside and worry about it in some way, but we can be liberated to live wholly in Christ. For some, that may be a depressing thing to think about, but I actually like the perspective of one worshiper who wrote in a card one time, "The brevity and uncertainty of life that I remembered on Ash Wednesday did not depress me," she said, "but invited me to seize the moment, for this is the day that God has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." Another difficult form of we that we acknowledge tonight on Ash Wednesday and at the beginning of Lent is that we are all sinful human beings. And here too we run up against a culture that is in denial or at least uncomfortable with this. Sin is not a popular subject. Maybe it never has been. Especially in a culture where there's so much fear of of people who are going to try and point out our sin to us all the time. Maybe in some cases we're just weary of religious fundamentalists who will always have an agenda of showing us, teaching us that we're sinners so that we will then turn to accept Jesus and escape hell. But I think our uncomfortableness goes a lot deeper than that. Our resistance to the subject, I think, is much more connected to who we are as human beings. A few weeks ago, I heard a mother tell a story about an experience that she and her husband had with their little toddler. They're trying to establish a bedtime routine with their little girl, which includes prayer. And since she's just learning to talk, they have started a routine where the parents will say a word or phrase, and then the child repeats after whoever the parent is there with her. And that went really well for about the first week. And then, as you can imagine, with this 2.5-year-old, the night had to come when that was all going to fall apart. So the dad was with her, and he sat down with her, and he said, "Okay, it's time to pray." And she said, "I know pray." And he said, "Okay, I'll just pray then, and you can listen." "No," she said, "no." And she got out of bed and threw herself down on the floor and started having this great tantrum and screaming, and finally got herself calmed down. And her father, helped her blow her nose and dry off her tears. And she finally got back into bed and she said, I pray now. So he started out, dear Jesus, I'm sorry. I know, pray that, she says. And they were back to where they started from. We have maybe more sophisticated words that we use. But I think all of us in different ways want to say, I know, pray that, when it comes to the honesty and the genuineness of our own ability to let even God expose what is within us that is a part of this night and of this season. But here too, there's the power of we. Because we remember on this night that we together are people in need of this grace of God. In another letter that St. Paul wrote to early Christians, he reminded them that being together in sin is also connected to our togetherness in receiving the grace and the love of God, which is given to all people. We might come here tonight thinking that our sin is greater or lesser than people around us, but when we come and confess this prayer tonight of our own sin, we use we all the way through, remembering that there is no distinction, that we stand together as people in need of God's grace, that all of that is erased. So St. Paul says that in our welcoming of God's grace too, there is no distinction. He says, all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. So all, therefore, are ones who receive God's grace, God's redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul also talks about our baptism as he recalls this for us, saying, do you not know that when you die together in Christ, you, all of you, are raised up together in Christ? And that's what leads me to a deeper appreciation also for the ashes that we receive tonight in the sign of a cross. As in baptism, we're reminded again tonight, and even with the water that is there as we come in, and also in these ashes that we receive, we're reminded that we together are God's people who die and rise, that we die and that in our sin we come. And tonight is again an opportunity to remember the lavish grace of God for everyone here, no distinction. All of us are inheritors of this grace. And so we leave remembering with thanksgiving that universal gift of God. For God so loved the cosmos, St. John says, that God came in Christ not to condemn the world, but that the world, the whole cosmos, all creation, might be redeemed through him. And finally, we leave this place tonight renewed in a calling that we have, all of us, as we go into these sacred days ahead. And it is connected to this sign of the cross, which comes with the ashes. Simply put, I think it is the calling to live in solidarity with all humanity. To remember, as Isaiah said in that part, the litany that we used at the beginning of the service, that in this life that we have together, the rich are bound to the poor, and the strong are bound to the weak, and the oppressed are bound to the free. We are all in this together. And we all are a part of God's reconciling work in the world. One of the New Testament scholars that commented on St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians that we heard this evening said that it was all about communal reconciliation. And that's connected to that we and to the us that Paul uses all the way through. In other words, this isn't just about some private relationship that I have or you have with God. This is about our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. We leave tonight going into a world that divides us in so many different ways, divides us according to gender and age and race and class and ability. And all of these other gifts that God has given, they become reasons for us to be driven apart. But as we leave tonight, we bear with us this reconciling love and grace of God, given to each of us, but given for all of us together. And that is, I think, most evident in those first words of the part of Paul's letter that we read this evening, where he said so clearly, all of this is from God, who reconciled us to God through Christ, and who has given us now this ministry of reconciliation. That is, Paul says, to be clear, in Christ, God was reconciling the whole world to God's self, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. To us. To us who are mortal. To us who are sinful. To us who are created in God's beautiful image. And to us who are loved and blessed beyond measure, beyond anything we can even begin to appreciate this evening. Loved infinitely by this God, us. Bearing ashes together on our brows in the form of a cross, and bearing God's reconciling love